A pastor's 8-year-old son once asked his dad on the way to church on Christmas Eve, "Dad, are you going to actually let us enjoy Christmas this year, or are you going to try to explain it all again?" I was supposed to make you laugh. I'm not good with jokes, I find out. But for those who laughed, it actually added time to your life. Medically speaking, laughter is good for the body. There was a study done in Sweden a few years ago that they actually found that when you laugh, a stress hormone in your blood, cortisol, decreases by 39%. Another survey in the Journal of Medical Sciences in 2009, they studied thousands of people for a long time, and they found this. They found that people who laugh on average 15 times a day or more end up living longer, healthier lives with less sickness and disease than those who don't laugh 15 times or more a day. And they get over their sickness quicker. So laughter is good for the body. It fills us with joy. Now, tonight we look at joy. And laughter is not just what joy is about. Joy is much deeper. It's a deep abiding presence in the Lord, a contentment in him. That's what gives us joy. But laughter brings us joy. So I got another joke. Try again. A husband suspects that his wife's starting to lose her hearing, and he wants to test this out, so he goes to the doctor. He says, "Is there a test I can do to find out if my wife is going deaf?" He said, "Yeah, go home, ask your wife a question from 20 feet away, from 10 feet away, and then right behind her ear." "Okay, I'll do that." So the husband goes home, he opens the door, and he sees his wife in the kitchen with her back to him. She's making dinner over the oven, and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" No response. So he goes to 10 feet away. He says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She doesn't say a thing. So he stands right behind her and he says, "Honey, what's for dinner?" She goes, "For the third time, chicken." Hey, all right. Yeah. Laughter's good. Laughter is good for the body. It brings us joy. I've been reading a book this week called A Little Book on Joy, How to Live a Good News Life in a Bad News World. And I got to tell you, I've been spending most of my time reading that book laughing in my office this week. It's a wonderful book. It makes you laugh at jokes. It makes you laugh at yourself and your mistakes. It makes you laugh about the good things. It makes you laugh about even the bad things and the misery in life. Joy leaps from the pages of this book. I'd recommend it to you if you need a little bit of joy. A Little Book on Joy, How to Live a Good News Life in a Bad News World. But as I was reading this book, I realized that that's exactly what the scriptures give us. Joy leaps from the pages in the Word of God. From beginning to end, There's joy on every page in the scriptures. You see joy in the lips of Moses. You see joy in the lips of the prophets, Magi and Zechariah and King Solomon and even King David. You see joy. You see joy in Isaiah. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into joyous singing. You see joy throughout the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see joy on the very lips of Jesus. He says, "I give you my word so that you would have my joy, and that my joy may be full and complete in you." You see joy on this night, the celebration of Christmas. You see joy on the lips of the angels. "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." You see joy in the very womb of Mary and Elizabeth as John the Baptist meets Jesus in the womb and he leaps for joy. You see joy in the life of Zechariah and Joseph. You see joy right there in that manger in Bethlehem. You see joy as Jesus grows up. And he makes the lame walk again, and they go leaping and praising God with joy in the temple. You see joy even on the Sea of Galilee as Jesus walks on the waters. You see joy throughout the scriptures. It leaps from the pages. You even see joy in the midst of suffering. "Consider it all joys, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. For the same kind of suffering and persecutions being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." You see joy in life. We see joy in death. You see joy at the resurrection of Jesus, you see joy in Revelation, how the new heavens and the new earth. Psalm 16:11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, there is a fullness of joy. In your word, in the Lord, there is a fullness of joy that every Christian knows all too well. That in the Lord's presence, there's a fullness of joy. So why don't I see more of it? Why are there so many churches? Why are there so many pastors? Why are there so many Christians who have so little joy today? And why does your life seem to be more filled with misery than it is with joy? If in God's presence, there is a fullness of joy. And why does the world seem to be the one so full of joy? And they look at us Christians like we're a bunch of Ebenezer Scrooges who thumb our nose at the world and judge everyone. We live lives of misery and all we do is judge others. But our Lord himself, the one we follow, says this: first, take the log out of your own eye so that you can see clearly to judge, to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. As Christians, we always begin first by judging ourselves. Looking in the mirror, evaluating ourselves, confessing our own sin, we see our sin and we see the darkness that we are in our lives. We see the places in our life where joy has left and misery comes swooping in. We see where we have removed the love of the Lord and brought in earthly responsibilities that fills our plates. They become impossible to handle without even feeling the slightest bit of success in even one area. Not even any joy. We know all too well as Christians that we walk in darkness with far too many yokes of responsibilities and far too many burdens placed on your shoulders. Or as Isaiah quotes in the Old Testament, the people who walked in darkness, the people who dwelled in a land of deep darkness with the yoke of burden and the staff upon their shoulder and the rod of your oppressor. The rod of your oppressor. You know him all too well, the devil. He strikes you every day with his rod, strikes you with fears and doubts, misery. He places temptations and trials in your path. He places traps to get you to fall into sin, and then sin, it's the rod that strikes your back. It hangs around our necks. It nags our consciences every day that you don't measure up to God's righteous standards. You're not holy. You don't love the Lord your God with all your heart. You don't value his word high enough. The rod of your oppressor strikes you on the back that you don't love your neighbor as yourself. You save way too much and spend way too much on yourself and don't give enough and help those who are in need. You don't live a sexually pure life. You lie and gossip and deceive. You slander the reputation of your neighbor. The rod of your oppressor strikes your back to remind you that you're a sinner. You're a sinner. And you don't deserve God's mercy, he says to you. You're a poor, miserable sinner. As Christians, we know the land of deep darkness all too well, and the yoke of our burdens and the staff on our shoulders and that rod of our oppressor, it can make life full of misery and zap every last bit of joy out from under you. But open your ears and hear that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You've increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, and they were filled with fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. For your yoke of burden and the staff upon your shoulders and the rod of your oppressor, he has broken, he has shattered, he has conquered it. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Glory to God in the highest. For to you a Savior has been born, to us a Savior has been born. For the whole world a Savior has been born, who has crushed the rod of our oppressor." Glory to God in the highest. Your sin completely paid. You are washed clean as snow. You're white as snow. God removes your sin as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't remember your sin anymore. And the devil, our oppressor, he's been defeated. His head's been crushed like a serpent. And death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is thy sting? Where's the power of death anymore? Our Lord has conquered it by his resurrection from the grave. So that in this Savior, we rejoice and we experience the fullness of joy, even in the midst of all of our misery. Or as Paul says, better than I, rejoice always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Jeremiah 15, 16, your word has become to me a joy and a delight to my heart. Your word has become to us a joy. But here's the best news. After all, the angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." The greatest news of all is that on account of this babe born in Bethlehem, on account of Christ, by what he did and by who he is and by all that he did by his grace, the Lord looks at you and he rejoices over you. He rejoices over you. The Lord of heaven and earth rejoices over you. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save, and he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He'll rejoice over you with loud singing. Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you. In the face of all your sin, he rejoices over you. In the face of all my worries and fears and doubts, God rejoices over you. In the face of all my misery and sin and death and darkness, he rejoices over you because of what his son has done for you. The Lord rejoices over you. The Lord rejoices over you. The Lord rejoices over you. That is why every Christian on this silent night, even in the midst of all the misery, even in the midst of all the chaos and darkness, we still have that fullness of joy in our Savior. Because in him, we have a God who rejoices over us. Joy to the world. Amen.